A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Welcome to Drinking Bros Sports, brought to you by KillcliffCBD.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Maybe you're the type who loves to bet on sports, or maybe you're playing for the first time. Either way, you need a website that gives you access to all your favorite sports and makes it simple, which is why I recommend MyBookie. Sign up today at mybookie.ag/drinkingbros and use the promo code DRINKINGBROS to secure your deposit bonus up to $1,000. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. That is mybookie.ag/drinkingbros.
Yeah! Welcome to the Monday morning recap show. We're starting at 5 o'clock today.
I'm ready for dinner.
Yeah. Who isn't? Some people have breakfast for dinner.
Why do some people say supper? Why? I don't understand what that means.
Supper?
Yeah. They're just trying to be show-offs.
Yeah. No, I mean, but where'd that come from?
I think it was sup, her. Is she the one that's giving me the food tonight?
Is that like some hillbilly bullshit or what?
Probably. Mm-hmm. If you haven't noticed, we got some astroturf in front of this set.
No, that's grass. It grew.
Oh, is it? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Good. Didn't know.
It's actually like Glendale, where the stadium, they grow the grass and they roll it in.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Either way, speaking of Glendale, you guys were there this weekend for UFC 263.
It's just called being a pro right there with that transition.
Thank you. Yeah. Great card, by the way. That fucking Nate Diaz fight was one of an all time. Were you guys fans of Nate Diaz the way I am?
Yeah, like, the people's main event.
Yes.
He got the loudest, other than Marino at the end when he won the belt in front of like 90% of Mexican crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Diaz got the biggest pop.
So what was it like being there? Because you guys were what? Had ringside? What are you, eighth row, something like that? Yeah. Pretty close.
Well, that depends on what you mean by ringside.
Well, it's Chuck Liddell. You've got to be sitting.
No, he wants to be in a baby Bjorn on the ref's chest.
He needs blood splattered otherwise, on him at all times.
Georgia, how close were you? You've been to a bunch of this shit.
In between, like, we weren't quite Chuck level, but we were also not too far away. Like, we could have got blood splattered on us. You know, we could have got some sweat on the walkout. You know,
okay, good, back, good.
If we were to describe this as like an airplane, we weren't necessarily first class, but we were that row right after.
Business class, right there. Yeah,
comfort
yeah.
plus.
Yes. You can still get a couple free drinks,
but they still put a curtain between us.
Still put a curtain between you guys. Yeah. Great card across the board. Nate Diaz, I wanted to see that fight just go one more minute and he would have won.
he kept saying that, right? He's like, if this was a real fight, I would have won. And it's like, no. In the real world, the ref doesn't like take a man off you every 5 minutes. Like, you were losing the fight for 23 minutes. You got your ass beat for 23 minutes. And then all of a sudden you found this like spurt
extra
of energy.
Gear.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just, and he had a chance to finish Leon Edwards. He wobbled him. I don't know why he didn't press forward. He just decided to like kind of mock him as he was.
He pointed at him, Dan. He pointed right at him and said, "I hit you." Yes, I did, and I'm good. Probably gonna go smoke some weed after this. I did it.
And that's the thing. Nate Diaz is too big to fail now. Uh-huh. Where like everyone just loves him, and guys can just keep beating him, and. There will never be a loss of interest in Nate Diaz again because, like, he can keep losing. It's the opposite of the Conor effect where, like, people will just come out and watch a Nate Diaz fight to see him just scrap. He doesn't have to win.
No, he doesn't have to win, and he's covered in blood usually most of the fight. That's the most entertaining part about it. He's still on his feet, and you're like, all right, what the fuck? What does it do to stop this guy? And then the photo afterward that went viral was him face covered in blood just looking at the camera like this, fuck you. And it's a middle finger shot that's been going around the internet. And everybody's like, oh, my God. It made him more of a legend, and he lost the fucking fight.
Yeah, he got worked, again, for 23 minutes by a lot of elbows by Leon Edwards. And, yeah, no, there was a point in the fight where Leon was trying to, like, touch gloves just to be like, yo, what's up? Like, respect to Nate. Mm-hmm. Nate slaps his hand away, and then Leon just goes double bird. middle of the fight. It was fun. It's definitely the most entertaining fight of the night.
Well, they are, after all, entertainers.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, all sports, really. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day.
That was not fight of the night. Why are you lying to these people?
All right. Is he your fight of the night?
Did you guys get in a slap fight in the stands or something?
Yeah.
Well, guys, Suns in Four was definitely the fight of the night.
I told you. For Ross. I told you, man.
It was the night before.
That was the night before, but
no,
that
fight of the night was the Brad Riddle Drew Dauber fight.
But that was only three rounds. It was only three rounds, and it wasn't on the main card.
Izzy though was the main event that night. How did he look in real life?
Honestly, like I mean, I knew Izzy won the fight. Like in the moment, Giorgio was trying to make an argument that Vettori won. He got swept all five rounds, Giorgio.
Yeah, well, it wasn't even close. At home, and that's the difference, and that's why we either try to go ourselves or send you guys to go, because when you're there, you have a completely different opinion than what you have from being at home.
I was lit up, and I'm like, yeah, no, Izzy won that easily. And
I don't think he lost a round. Me watching the fight at home.
He probably lost the first round, okay, in my eyes. But yeah, 4-1. Like 4-1. It wasn't 50-45. But Giorgio was like, man, especially with the crowd and everything, because it was a very pro, obviously it was a pro-Mexican crowd, so a lot of like boxing fans mixed in,
mm-hmm,
and they just hated wrestling.
Is there anyone that likes it though?
I'm
really,
Bob on
and
this
Giorgio.
One. Yeah, well, Giorgio's the only one.
Yeah, he's certainly the only one.
I want to
yeah.
see people get that's knocked like, and beaten unconscious and bloody like Nate Diaz.
But that's like being like a soccer fan, like thrilled by a 0-0 draw, which you can be. Like,
yeah,
even, but
yeah,
like,
no, it is not.
If you're in,
he is a soccer fan.
Yeah, if it's a multi-stage competition or something, maybe tying wins you the match, but nobody. Nobody gets excited about a draw unless it's like a really great team versus a shitty team.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know if that's a good comparison. I'll tell you this, though. Diaz has figured out what other athletes can't. It's not about performance. I mean, you have to be a certain level of good to maintain your status and to continue performing in the sport and shit. But at the end of the day, people don't give a shit if Diaz wins or loses.
Nope.
Right?
It's exciting to fight, yes.
Right, they come.
And he's putting dudes over. So, like, if you beat Nate Diaz, you would kind of, like, get more notoriety.
100%.
You become a bigger star yourself. So, yeah, it's kind of like I heard this comparison. it's like Ric Flair when he came back in, like, the 2000s when he was old as shit.
Yeah.
But he was still putting dudes over.
Yeah.
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 You beat Ric Flair, you become a bigger star.
And speaking of which, Nate Diaz, by the way, I don't know if you guys heard after the fight, actually – they were asking what he whispered into Edwards' ear, and he's just said, "Dude, don't let anybody fucking talk shit that I should have won or anything else. Like, you fucking won this fight, and be confident in it and enjoy your life." Like, it was nice. I was surprised.
I don't think that was in question at all. I don't think anyone in their right mind thought that Nate Diaz won that fight. Nate Diaz spent the entire last three rounds like turning his back and like walking around the cage and trying to slip a punch real quick. Because he literally can't beat him in a straight up fight, so he has to look uninterested and kind of try to distract Leon or catch Leon. And Leon kind of let it happen, and that's what Leon gets for not putting Nate away. Leon should have put Nate away because he knew that this was his opportunity to get a title shot. May he get one? Possibly. Would he have gotten one if he would have put Nate out? Of course. And I think he held back too much. Definitely won the rounds, controlled the fight easily, controlled the fight in every single position. Yeah, I don't know why we want to watch Nate Diaz fight so much. It confuses me.
What do you mean?
I have a question for you. I have a question for
yes,
us.
Yes.
Why, since we have bare knuckle boxing,
mm-hmm,
we have kickboxing,
mm-hmm,
we have boxing, why do you want to watch MMA fighters box? Like, I understand. Like, you want the stand up.
I don't want them to box. I want them to do mixed martial arts.
On their feet?
Yeah. If it goes to the ground, it goes to the ground if somebody gets submitted. But I don't want to watch dudes fucking jockey for position for fucking 15 to 25 minutes because it's boring.
Paul Craig pulled guard and broke a dude's arm off.
Okay, so do that.
Do that. Hey, exactly. 100%.
But if it only ends, dislocated.
If it goes 15 minutes and the most action happens is the shoot, sprawl, or takedown, then I'm out. I don't give a fuck about any of that. If you can't get the job done on the ground, then stand up and fight.
The entire Logan Paul Mayweather fight was hugging. Like they just made memes about the hugging.
Yeah, so dude, I'm not. Nobody's
jacking off that fight here.
Yeah,
and they're also not. It's not a pro fight. So
no, I want to see. I like the 5 minute rounds. I think the ref after two consecutive minutes on the ground without any kind of movement should make the guy stand up. Fuck that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you want the sport to be good, then do that. Fuck that. Nobody wants to watch dudes roll around on the ground and bide time.
Yeah, that's that. I agree. I kind of agree with that sort of shot clock solution.
Something, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know what it looks like. It would be interesting to see how they might experiment with something like that. I know a lot of forms of martial arts have stuff like that. Like, if you're, I mean, even boxing, if you're pinned on the rope too long, they split you up. So what's the difference between that and guys that aren't doing work on the fucking ground? And when I say work, I don't mean fucking inching away or fucking shrimping away or fucking slowly taking 2.5 minutes to get into a new position so you get a point. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Greco-Roman exists. Go watch that stupid bullshit. No guys. One does. People come for the fucking knockout,
yes,
man.
Yes, and the
blood. They come for Matt Hughes breaking goddamn Royce Gracie's arm off.
Yes. The two biggest takeaways that went viral after that fight were, no lie, the arm break, because you guys were there during it, right? Everybody was talking about the guy with the fucking broken arm.
Yeah. And then we talked so much shit about Paul Craig, too.
And Nate Diaz. But Nate Diaz, like, that's it. That image of Nate Diaz was that Saturday night. That's the only thing that's going around.
Yeah, so we also had the fastest UFC debut knockout ever. And
preceded by a guy.
And injuring himself.
Injuring himself on the celebration.
Yes.
Off the cage. That was sick.
Yeah.
But, guys, there's a literal shot clock in wrestling. You guys know that, right? Like, in international wrestling, there's a shot clock. Like, they put a timer up, and if you don't shoot in that time and score, you get a point deducted.
Yeah. Look. There's a reason why it's not televised, you know. Who's the national champion in wrestling right now?
What weight class and
heavyweight? Division? We'll go heavyweight.
What?
Heavyweight.
Gable Stevenson.
Okay, where does he go to school?
Arizona State.
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Yep. And he's the current Olympian. He's probably gonna win the Olympics.
Yep. Okay. No one knows.
He's probably the most famous heavyweight of all time. He's been like a heavyweight phenom, like a youth prodigy.
Sure. And as that, has he ever been on Sports Illustrated?
Maybe.
No, he's not. He's not been on the cover of Sports Illustrated. You know who was this week?
Logan Paul.
Bronny James.
Is he committed?
No, dude, he averages 4 points a game. He's LeBron James' kid.
Don't let us segue away.
They got housed, right? This is what I'm talking about. No one cares. If you've got to make it exciting, you've got to make a personality, you've got to make some lasting image, because that's the fucking world we live in right now today. And I'm the same way, and we'll transition over to the other fight of the weekend, which some might say is the fight of the year.
No one will say that.
can we give Brandon Moreno a little shout out though?
Yeah, first
Mexican UFC champion ever. Like, come on, put some respect on that name. And also, no one really gave him a shot, and just choking Figgy out with that rear naked. It was beautiful.
He dominated him for 3 rounds too, and it was it was probably definitely the best moment I've been at a live sporting event, just seeing the entire crowd go nuts for like 5 minutes after the fight.
He was crying in the ring. Yeah. I mean, it was a whole thing. And that, yes, that was fun. But now, who does he fight next?
So we can run back Figgy again for round three, because many people think he lost the first fight,
mm-hmm.
if it wasn't for the point deduction. Also, Giorgio, help me out with the... He also had a draw earlier in his career against Double A. Trying to think of his name. Askro.
I'm just letting you. Askro Orlov?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I'm letting you swim for a little bit. You can pronounce these Eastern Europeans' names, Dan.
Nope.
You can try.
Nope.
You can try. Come on, buddy. Joseph Benavidez is there too, and Alex Perez. They've all been kind of floating around.
Okay,
that
we're not getting Benavidez in the ring again for a title.
No, probably not. A chance. I think Arskov is probably the next up for him, and then or run the Figgy fight back again. Henry Cejudo's back. Maybe he can make.
He is back. Great. That's what I was going to ask. So I think if you're going to pair that guy up with anybody, because everybody else you said is a fucking no name.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's got to be Cejudo. Is he coming back?
I heard he's in the testing pool. We can do a little research on that before our next UFC show this week. We'll preview Cejudo return, and then I think he's going to come back at 35 though. I don't know if he's going to make 25 again. Yeah. I think this could be the reign of Brandon Moreno.
It could be, and then you could also have if Cody Garbrandt decides to drop down to 125.
No one cares about 125. That's why Cejudo left in the first place, and that's why him coming back. It is going to be certainly at a higher weight.
But if he comes back to fight Moreno, that's a fucking huge fight that could generate a lot of interest.
Could be. I mean, I don't think so.
They also seem
honestly
friendly.
I think fight fans like it, but Chuck keeps talking about this over and over. These elements of these elements that this weird shit with Triller and fucking the Paul brothers and all this stuff are bringing over, they're not fight fans. They're entertaining. They're entertainment fans. Yeah, they'd love to see somebody get knocked out.
Yeah.
But whether that happens or not, it's a wash for them. They're just there to be entertained. You don't get those people, even within the fight community, from 125. Nobody gives a fuck about that shit. I think the bigger problem with UFC is what to do with Adesanya now, because he's literally killed everybody in middleweight. Does he have to go up, or is he just going to fucking hang out?
Nah, they're running back Bobby Knuckles.
That shit, man.
Robert Whittaker.
Is he going to fucking go up and wait or what? Because if he doesn't...
Tried. If it he didn't does, work.
Well, he's got to try harder then. Wow. You know what I mean? I'm serious. Your fucking branding plateaus at some point.
Oh, I agree. And we watched that. We did a live watch for that fight.
If you keep annihilating all of your opponents in one weight class, people don't think you're the best in that weight class anymore. They think that the fucking division's weak.
He didn't annihilate his opponent. Maybe he won the cumulative fight. Like, maybe.
And now...
That fight on Saturday?
Yeah, maybe.
That fight was nowhere close.
He was chopping Vittori's leg the entire fight.
It didn't break and bend at all. Vittori looked... I had noted this on the post fight. His thighs are so big. He took all those leg kicks, and yes, he was taking a few combos where he would slip one or two, maybe catch the last straight, and then Izzy would end it with a leg kick, and he would be connecting there completely. But Vittori dominated the positioning, and yes, in the fourth and fifth round, just pushing him against the cage is probably not the move if you're trying to win a title against arguably the fan favorite there.
Do you know,
you can't stall out and win there. It's not wrestling.
No, of course not.
But like, if Izzy didn't do anything to get off the cage, he just leaned against the cage, let him go there,
because he was winning.
Slapped it. Was he? Because he let him in,
yes.
Push him against the
clearly,
cage.
Clearly, yes.
Him there,
who
right?
Gives
is
a
that,
shit?
Is that winning?
Like, yeah. if you were Floyd Mayweather, if you're in a boxing match, right, and you're up 8 rounds to 3 already, you don't go out there and try to knock the guy out in the last couple of rounds. You fucking let him hug you as much as he wants.
How was he winning? He didn't knock Vittori down at all in the first 3 rounds. Barely any significant strikes landed. No any damage. He didn't look in danger at all, except for one little leg sweep in like the 4th or 5th
for sure.
round. Like, I don't know.
No, but
I agree with that. But
everybody at home had this 4-1.
Like, everybody had it
4-1.
Like, everybody.
I did. I scored a 4-1.
Yeah.
And maybe
I value your opinion, Rob.
Maybe you're right. No. Maybe that's. But what's the impetus for him to come out? We've seen Adesanya fight a lot of times. He doesn't just like stop fighting in the last couple of rounds unless he's ahead. They knew they were ahead for sure. Knew they were ahead, and he knew there was no risk in just letting that guy pin him on the cage.
But
so
this is why you're wanting him to go to 205, and he would still be interested as a dominant champion.
For sure,
like,
yeah.
If he was piecing people up and putting people out, if he did to him like what he did to Paulo Costa and just left him face, like laying face first on the canvas, I would be all on Izzy. But people, like, as Dan, people were walking out and leaving before they announced the winner.
Because they knew.
They weren't cheering. They weren't like, this wasn't a great Izzy victory. It felt like those John Jones victories over Gustafson where you're just like, eh?
I agree with that, it looked too easy, and it looked like to me and the rest of the people that were watching that everybody else had it 4-1. I was just waiting for that guy's leg to fall off. That would have made it interesting because it was swollen to the point of like everybody was wincing at home of like, stop kicking me in the fucking leg, like it's going to break off, like we've seen the last few fights, and it didn't. Yeah, I understand people leaving. I understand what you're saying. What would happen against him and John Jones? How much would he have to come up and wait?
Well, it couldn't happen now because John Jones is a massive man now.
He's beefed up. He's beefed up a little bit. And Giorgio, just to your point, I don't necessarily think Adesanya should move up. I'm just saying that
money-wise,
your brand plateaus at some point. You're absolutely right when you say if he just started fucking crushing dudes' faces instead of doing what he did Saturday, that's a whole different fucking ballgame. The difference between Conor McGregor didn't get
exactly.
Conor McGregor did not get famous by not taking chances and risk and by not showing out and by not, hey, the guy's wobbly a little bit, so I'm just gonna fucking let him ride out the round. No, he fucking attacks him and rips his goddamn head off.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I mean, Izzy's got a killer instinct. We've seen him fucking come back in fights even. So what the fuck is he doing? This is another thing that I keep bitching about with UFC. They need to bring over the fucking talent coordinator from WWE. Like, not to script it or make it fake, but to teach these guys that it's a fucking business. It's the business of entertainment. No one gives a fuck if you're 90-0. Yep. No one cares.
Yep.
People will fucking watch if you knock people the fuck out. And if you don't believe me, a 28-0 Khabib fought Conor McGregor and made 30% less than Conor did, even though he won the fucking fight.
But here's the issue with that, and it comes from history and it comes from tradition. A lot of these people, like from the sport, come from a competition-first background, not a prize-first, not an entertainment-first background. They come from either some sort of form of martial art or grappling art in which it's not for spectacle, it's not for fans, it's just kind of to determine who is the best. And it's really hard to sell these people on they've been wrong their entire life and what they've been brought up on to change what their mindset is. Their mindset isn't to go out there and give entertainment, even though they might say it is. Like, they still get nervous. They're still going out there to try to, like, for the competition of sport, to try to be the best.
Right.
And I don't think you won't get, like, the Kevin Hollands of the world, the people who just want to go out there and have fun and throw punches. Like, it's just to be... they go out there for the sport.
I'm not saying you can just do that, but that absolutely has to be an element of your game.
That sounds like some baseball shit.
Like Anthony Pettis, for example. He went over onto the wrong side of this. It became too much about that Showtime bullshit and not enough about winning fights. Yeah. In my opinion, right? But there's
breakdancing in half.
A fucking balance, right? I mean, the shit that Anderson Silva did, for example, teasing opponents and blah, blah, blah. Say what you want about it, but it fucking sold tickets. And then he matched it up with winning 11 straight title defenses.
It caught up with him, though.
But it catches up with everybody. It's fucking nature.
That's why we have prize fighters, though. You mean Masvidal, Nate Diaz. Mm-hmm. You have Conor now is essentially a prize fighter. All these big names, they're not ever going to compete for a title again, really. They're just going to end up making these massive fights and make way more money than everybody else.
Boxing doesn't make so much more money than MMA because more people watch it. That's not true. We see that. We see the numbers all the time.
Yeah.
Boxers make more money because they're prize fighters.
Yeah.
Right? And what, you're going to fight for the honor of the UFC? What the fuck is the UFC going to do for you when your leg's broken?
Nothing.
And you're 45 fucking years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, Dana White would put a bullet in a broken leg if he could
lasso you for sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like a horse. You know what I mean? Like, he would race horses, fighters, if he could.
Here's what's going to happen, too. We're going to have the biggest fight in UFC history, and it's going to be a guy that came off two straight losses and another guy who had three straight losses. So Conor versus Nate, three.
That'd be great.
So when Conor loses to Poirier and they schedule Diaz, McGregor 3, it's going to be a weird situation because these guys haven't won a fight in, like, I don't know, however long.
As soon as you said it, I immediately got hard.
Conor,
I would love to see Diaz McGregor.
Conor hasn't won a UFC fight. He won Cerrone, but before that was September 2016, right? So he went 4 years without one.
Yeah. And he could lose to Logan Paul by the end of the year. Because
I'd love to see that.
That's where we're at.
I'd love to see it.
Well, Jake Paul, not Logan Paul.
Either one. You never know.
Well, Dana addressed the Tyron Woodley as aspect. Or
he was very pissed off. Did you see his?
He said, "This is a Tyron Woodley who hasn't won a fight in 4 years, doing something he's never done before."
Yep. And he's gonna get beat. He's gonna get beat by Jake Paul, dude. I've said this ad nauseum at this point.
Still not fair that the raccoon softened him up, though.
That's true. That's true.
The raccoon did most of the work.
Bit his penis off.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know what that's from, but look it up.
Yeah, look it up. It's there. It's all there. We'll swap over to the Chuck Liddell referee fight on Friday night. I'm saying that because that's the reason I paid $30 to watch it, was Chuck was the referee.
In Atlantic City,
in a venue that looked like, I don't know, maybe they sat 300 or 400 people tops.
They should have had this in an alley. I said this earlier when we were talking off air. This fight was immoral.
Well, Atlantic City is a giant alley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Atlantic City is an alley of a city. Yeah.
Yeah.
The gloves they were wearing were the size of that O.J. Simpson helmet in front of Dan right there. I mean, it was comical.
I'm pretty sure the venue is not even finished because Trump never paid his employees.
That was probably the one.
No, that one's gone now.
Taj Mahal.
Yeah, they knocked that down. It's gone. A lot of have you been to AC lately?
No.
A lot of it's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A lot of it's gone. So I don't know where this fight was, where it took place. I know that it was $30. I watched it on that FITE app, which is fights, apparently.
That seems like the type of app that they actually tried their best to spell fight correctly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I got some trademark issues. But look, when you turn on this app, because you're going to see a lot of it, actually, because they've signed on with a bunch of people. When you go there, it is set up like a TV screen as if they have like 30 different fights. And they did. There was a TikTok fight that they hosted as well. TikTokers
versus YouTube.
YouTube, yeah.
I saw the pre-fight about that.
That was really sad. That guy, that YouTuber, like
Bryce beat the shit out of that kid. Yeah,
and that TikToker, like, really, really.
Yep. The other part about this was with Chuck's fight. I did not think Lamar Odom could box. It didn't appear as if he trained. It literally just looked like he walked in off the streets.
Yeah, that's kind of what it seemed like. With the interview he did with Icebreakers.
Yes.
Like, in the middle of it, he's taking phone calls and shit. Like, dude, you're doing press for a fight you're getting paid for. What are you doing?
And he beat the shit out of Aaron Carter. It was not close. And
yeah, what the fuck did you expect?
Lamar Odom is almost 7 feet tall.
He's got a foot tall? Like, he's got an entire foot on Aaron Carter.
Aaron Carter is, like, and still has a meth body. Like, yeah. still has a meth body.
I don't know if he's hit puberty yet. No. Certainly, Lamar Odom is a professional athlete, or was at one point.
Right.
And yeah. Aaron Carter has not been one in his life.
No, and they put a real fighter on for the undercard, and it was Tim Witherspoon from back in the day. He's 60 years old now, and that's no lie. He's 60. Everybody was wearing shirts. They all wore headgear and then gloves that were comically big. This is celebrity boxing, using that term very loosely.
It's like clip. When you go to freshman orientation.
Yeah.
And
they had the giant. The
jello.
Clip of Aaron Carter just wailing on Lamar Odom's head for like 20 seconds and nothing happening was when I was like, this is immoral. Like, I said this months ago before when this fight was announced. It's just people paying to watch two drug addicts fight each other.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, Bob.
What's wrong with
fucking
that?
People paid for it. Who cares? I mean, not a lot of people, probably. But
I did, and I felt guilty. My kid wanted to stay up and watch Chuck. When Chuck started laughing as he was breaking up the fighters, my wife was like, dude, he's actually laughing, like, on television. I go, he's definitely doing that. But everybody was wearing shirts, headgear. The gloves were, this is real. This is a true story. All of the gloves were Velcro, so you did not have to get them taped. You could simply just pull off
the
Velcro.
Oh, so
they were
like the gloves they give to children.
Children, yeah. Correct.
Well.
Correct. And at one point, there was one of the guys from Love and Hip Hop, that show on VH1. Mm. I'm not a fan. I've never seen it. Doesn't really matter.
Is VH1 still a thing?
It's barely still there because of this show. They even let one of the guys referee it. He was angry about what he thought to have been a low blow. He went back to his corner and physically unvelcroed his gloves and took a breather for about 5 minutes.
That reminds me of an old Mitch Hedberg joke. He's like, when you're camping, it's a horrible time to get into a fight with your wife because there's no door to slam. You have to, like, zip the flap up really fast. That's what it made me think of when you said that.
Bump
some
fights.
Some dude ripping his Velcro off like he's
hard.
Yeah.
Like
you can't, there's no way to do that and look tough.
No.
No. The TikTok fight, I draw the line at that. I didn't watch it. I watched the knockout later. If you're into that world, into TikTok and YouTube, you're definitely not watching this show. Not the same demographics, probably.
No.
These kids are about 17 years old. They did beat the shit out of each other with real gloves and no headgear, though. So,
yeah.
Something to be said for that, at least. It was a step above.
Speaking of, you mentioned bump fights. Do you remember, there's a meme of it now, actually, but that dude went on Dr. Phil and he shaved
as
the
Dr. Middle. Rest, yeah. Like Dr. Phil, like yeah, Dr. to the whole
best. Best.
Where's that guy now? He's probably in jail, right?
I would imagine so.
Well, him and, who is it, Francis, the guy who did what, Girls Gone Wild?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're living on an island together, counting their money. And
Ryan McPherson.
Yeah, they ran away from whatever lawsuits they were involved in, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Francis still has that house down there, and every celebrity goes.
There was a minute where people thought he was going to be like the next Hugh Hefner, but then he did horrible things. Well, so it's
what did he actually do?
He was
minors on camera, drunk girls not being able to consent to what they were.
That drunk part is fucked up. But the minors on camera thing, to be honest, like you got to check some ID on that, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't. I don't think you. Well, this was the 90s though. Maybe you can get a fake IDs were a lot bigger. I don't think fake IDs exist anymore. I don't think that's a thing.
I'm not sure.
Because half the bars you go to, depending if you're like in Austin, sometimes
they'll scan it.
They like scan the shit. And
oh, that's right. You're right. You're right. The rumor was that he got kidnapped and then raped for 3 days by one of the girls' fathers who was on one of the videos. And then after that, like he was fucking traumatized and just kind of quit the whole fucking thing. But whether or not that story is true, who knows? The story that is true, though, is the NBA playoffs are in full swing. We'll start off with you and I's bets that we have. Tell the audience that guy's name again.
Shake Milton.
There it is, Shake Milton.
Yeah.
Watching the game on Friday night, Dan and I have a bet that was off air. We'll tell you on air now. Mm-hmm. I was so pissed off about the Shake Milton game. He scored 14 points in 14 minutes. Hawks were up over the 76ers. I bet you that if the Sixers win the series, I will wear a Shake Milton jersey for 30 days. If the Hawks win, you have to wear an MLK.
Trae Young jersey.
Yes.
Yeah, it I'm is feeling a, pretty good, though.
A Nike Martin Luther King Day jersey of Trae Young, and you'll have to wear that for 30 days to show how woke you are.
Right.
Injuries are going to be the key. So I thought Embiid was going to be out for this series.
Nope.
He's played out of his mind. Mm-hmm. He's played great. Ben Simmons only plays defense. He doesn't play any offense.
All he needs to do.
I didn't know that.
Just about, play defense. Ben
Simmons. But people were pissed that Simmons didn't get DPOY.
Should have been.
Yeah, people were like, Rudy.
Really?
Rudy's good, but yeah. Like Simmons guards the best guard every night.
Yeah, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true. And they've done a really great job on Trae Young. The rest of that team's got to step up, or if Embiid goes down, like we're seeing in this other series here with the Nets.
Well, the best thing that happened to the Sixers was Danny Green getting hurt.
Mm.
Because as soon as he got off the court, the Sixers rolled.
Do you think he got galoolied?
I hope.
Was someone just... took a pipe and
I truly hope. And it's weird because Danny Green is always on these teams that are like in the mix between the Spurs, the Toronto, the Lakers.
But he's
every fan base hates Danny Green.
But he's the thing with Danny Green though is those teams compared to the Sixers is that those teams had like five other players to watch before Danny Green, and the Sixers only have like maybe three other players to watch before Danny Green.
No, Danny Green's like our, 11th option. But for whatever reason, Doc Rivers starts him. So whatever.
Everybody has for years and years and years, and you're right. Every fan base hates Danny Green.
Mm-hmm. Doc Rivers is NBA Bobby Cox, is what I decided.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
How many titles do you have as a coach?
Doc's got one.
Does he?
When was it?
With the Celtics.
08.
08.
Yeah. Kevin Garnett. Anything is possible.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You're right. Speaking of which, this Nets series has gotten really interesting. I thought they were going to roll through the finals and win.
They looked unfucking stoppable.
They looked unstoppable, and then Kyrie Irving sprains his ankle. Harden is out. This is breaking news right now. Kyrie and Harden will be out for game 5.
Hate to see it.
Boy, it's going to be Durant against the world there. They definitely won't win that game.
How pumped is the world for the 76ers versus Utah Jazz finals?
First off, I think the Suns are going to take it, but
yes, I do too.
I hope so.
I do too.
Somebody, hold on, let me look in the group here. I think it was Jordan Wenzel.
Suns and four.
Talking to
Suns and four.
He was
Suns and four. If they win the championship, they've got to give that guy a championship ring.
Oh, Devin Booker actually tweeted today, I need this guy's info.
No way.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He's like, I need to find this
He's
man.
Become That's a rad. Rallying cry, even for me. Like, I don't, if the Hawks win, great, right? But Suns winning and that guy getting his just due.
What's
one of the best fan fights I've ever seen in my life.
What's funny is that, like, 10 years ago, it was like, and 20 years ago, it was like people rallying around an animal, like, oh, a rally monkey, or like the Cardinals in 11, like, oh, the rally squirrel, but now it's just...
Don't you dare dismiss the rally squirrel.
And now it's animals in the stands just beating the shit out of other people. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
We're just upgrading it, like, they're still, well, like, a mascot, but...
First off, the Nuggets fans had the high ground and started it.
Yeah.
And started it.
So what you're saying is this guy's a better fighter than Anakin Skywalker?
Took out two guys.
Two guys, and then afterwards... Suns. He had the wherewithal to say Suns in four. It's the greatest, one of the greatest moments in all of sports, next to PDW, obviously the professional bowler, Pete Weber Jr.
Whoever you think you are, I am.
I am. Yeah, that's always one. This is now two. Mm-hmm. They have to give this guy a championship ring. Now I'm all in because I want to see Chris Paul win a ring now because he's been shit on his entire career.
He might end up being Devin Booker's bodyguard.
Maybe.
That's what I'm speculating.
Who is the
Devin
guy?
Devin Booker is a pretty man, by the way.
Yeah,
he's dating a Jenner.
Yeah,
Kylie, Kendall. Which one? I don't remember.
Go all in.
Hopefully, it doesn't fuck up his game like it did everybody else.
I mean, she did.
We don't want to see him fighting Aaron Carter in 10 years.
Donovan Mitchell
or Dewey
is having a pretty good series.
Oh yes, yeah.
But even with him, I don't think they can. I honestly don't think they can beat the Suns.
So Connolly's hurt.
Like the Suns' perimeter defense, or I'm sorry, the Jazz perimeter defense isn't. it's Gobert that drives that defense, right? And the Suns don't even need to go in there. As a matter of fact, Chris Paul shooting from 18, 19 feet will draw that bitch out a little bit.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's, I think the Suns v. Jazz matchup is super compelling. However, we're not there yet, right?
Clippers. I mean,
Suns are in.
The Clippers look good at home.
Is there a less inspiring team
than the Clippers?
No, the Clippers are the most boring. They're the fucking New England Patriots of fucking basketball.
Minus any success.
Yeah.
It's
I suppose, yeah. But it's Kawhi Leonard. What do you expect?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, he's the most boring human being on earth.
Yep.
Have you never heard this laugh?
You've heard Kawhi's laugh, right?
No, I've not.
Oh, God, that went viral after the Toronto series.
Can you pull that up, Giorgio? Is that possible?
Probably not, right? It's probably
a TV broadcast.
Everyone on the planet except Rob has heard this.
Apparently.
This was like a huge meme for a while.
Oh, forever, dude. We
were talking about this a couple nights ago when I think the Jazz went up 2-0, that Kawhi has a stupid laugh. I was like, never heard it. I didn't think he was capable of laughing. I didn't think Kawhi.
Nobody did.
And felt feelings.
When he did, it sounded like a fucking robot. And that was the meme, Bob. Mm-hmm. I can't invite you to it.
That's all right. I think that's an actual TV broadcast. We need to play it. Lie.
Oh, yeah. I'm a fun guy. Love to laugh.
I believe that. That's not a human's laugh.
No,
not at all. Not at all.
That's an alien that heard somebody else laugh.
Yeah.
Through like some transmission, and now they're like, "Hello, sport human." Yeah. Like, whoa, dude.
Real quick before we get into the next topic, real quick, Ross. Baseball is in full swing, and the NBA playoffs are going hard as well. We're in the second round, and it's been amazing. And you, dear listener, can make each and every series matter by having a stake in the game with MyBookie.ag. Regardless of whether you're betting favorites or underdogs, player prop bets, or, you know, just looking to make some extra cash, MyBookie gives you tons of options to make all your favorite matches a hell of a lot more exciting. And if you're looking to bet for the first time and don't know what to bet on, we here at Drinkin' Bros have some pretty good advice. We're going to talk about this later, but I'll bring it up now just because I think that Chris Bryant at 13-1-ish odds is a great National League MVP bet. And like I say, pretty much every week, bet scoring guards to hit their overs in NBA playoff games. Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young, even though Trae Young's getting kind of locked down by Ben Simmons, I think it's still an okay bet to bet a Trae Young over. I certainly love betting Donovan Mitchell overs. I think that is a no-brainer. And Devin Booker's on fire right now. I love betting Devin Booker overs as well. So Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker for sure, Trae Young maybe. And I do love Chris Bryant about 13-1 as a NL MVP. You know, lay 100, lay 50 on it, whatever. I think that's a good bet. If you got $50 or $100 to spare, I think all those bets are good bets. So go to mybookie.ag/drinkinbros, sign up now, and use our promo code, which is Drinkin' Bros, to get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. You put in $1,000, they'll give you an extra $500. Sounds like a pretty good deal. I don't know. I've rarely gotten a free $500 in my life, but that seems pretty chill. Let them know we sent you by going to our very own URL. That's mybookie.ag/drinkinbros and use our promo code Drinkin' Bros to get that free deposit bonus and start your day off with a win. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. All right. Killcliff is next, and I'm going to do that now. Here's Killcliff, Dan. Guys, if you didn't know, the Flamin' Joe CBD for Killcliff is back in stock. That's right. We're talking Killcliff next. It's our favorite energy drink. It's our favorite CBD drink. Go to killcliff.com and live your life full of flavor. Killcliff is legitimately the best. Developed by a U.S. Navy SEAL to give you the benefits you need without sacrificing flavor, overcome any obstacle with Killcliff CBD recovery drinks. Their products help you operate at your best because they know in life, there's no off days and that quitting is never an option. The CBD products are incredible. Those are my favorite. I love drinking them when I have a hangover. I actually love drinking both when I have a hangover. It depends on how much energy I need, I guess. But I do love the CBD drinks a lot because they chill me out. They make me feel better if I'm feeling a little anxious after a hangover. And they have B vitamins and electrolytes and all that stuff. And they taste great. Right now, the new Flaming Joe CBD drink, which is their most popular flavor, that's Joe Rogan's drink, that's back in stock. And Killcliff is running a 30% discount on all their CBD flavors, including, of course, the Flaming Joe, the Mango Tango, the Orange Kush, the Goat, which is the grapest of all time, Strawberry Days. I'm a big fan of that. It's like a strawberry lemonade drink. Or you can just get a variety pack as well. So for a limited time, use the promo code Drinkin' Bros to get 30% off. Yes, that is right. Go to killcliff.com and use the promo code Drinkin' Bros, and you'll get 30% off all drinks and apparel, if you want a t-shirt or something, all month long. And like I said earlier, they also have an energy drink. So check out the new Flaming Joe Ignite flavor. That's same flavor, Flaming Joe. It's pineapple, jalapeno, a little spicy. We like mixing either of those with tequila. But they have in the energy drink as well. It used to be just CBD. These are clean energy drinks with killer taste. It's not like a Red Bull or something where you get the shakes. Like, these really are great, clean energy drinks. It's all natural freedom needed to conquer life. Jam-packed with all the hydration benefits your body deserves. There's no sugar. Only 20 calories per can. It's got B vitamins, electrolytes, naturally flavored. It's really just, it's my favorite energy drink on the market. I get kind of antsy and annoyed when we don't have them in the office. Thankfully, we just got like 8 giant boxes, so they're going to be here for a while. So, Killcliff is the best for both CBD and energy. And once again, Killcliff is offering Drinkin' Bros an exclusive offer, 30% off. Go to killcliff.com and use the promo code Drinkin' Bros. That is KILLCLIFF.com. And use promo code Drinkin' Bros to take advantage of this offer that is 30% off their drinks, their apparel, whatever. Killcliff is legitimately the best. I love it. And then last but not least, we have our favorite, our title sponsor, our just favorite people, Ghostbed. They sponsor across the network. We love Ghostbeds. They've been a loyal sponsor with Drinkin' Bros for over 5 years, and everyone raves about them. Everyone, all of our listeners and everything. They have super comfortable mattresses that last forever. They have a 20-year warranty on each mattress, and they're all made in the USA. And you can try it out for 101 nights. And if you don't like it, you can, you know, send it back if you're not satisfied or whatever. Each Ghostbed mattress has cooling technology in it. So if you're hot at night, not anymore. These mattresses are incredible. I live in Texas. I need to get one. I bought my mattress right before I started working here, and I regret it. Right now, Ghostbed is offering a flash sale, 40% off Ghostbed bundles, where you get a mattress and an adjustable base. That means, you know, you can tilt the mattress up, hospital bed style, and, you know, your mattress is kind of a couch, whatever. You just chill in your bedroom the whole day. Or you can get 30% off everything if you use the promo code Drinkin' Bros. So go to ghostbed.com/Drinkin' Bros. And use that promo code. Ghostbed, again, has an adjustable base that is literally the best in its class. And it's pretty damn affordable as well. You will literally save thousands compared to the others out there. And, you know, that adjustable base, it has 15 massage modes, zero gravity stuff. I mean, it's just incredible. And, you know, you can buy a mattress for like $35 a month when you get a Ghostbed mattress. Zero down, 0% financing plan. Again, that's ghostbed.com/Drinkin' Bros. The price is great. The cooling technology, like, I don't know what to tell you other than it's just incredible. The returns are easy, zero down, zero APR financing. All of our listeners, because, like, Ghostbed's been here for so long, they're all, like, it's funny how they come in, and that brand in particular, not that they don't like the other brands, because they do, but that brand in particular, they're like, God, you guys pimp Ghostbed so hard, it almost sounds counterintuitive to say this, but it's like, what are they selling? Like, what's the deal? But then they're like, we bought one and it's incredible. It's the best mattress we've ever had. I don't want any other mattresses other than this one ever. And I don't know what to say. All of our listeners love it. So if you haven't gotten a Ghostbed, get it. You can get 30% off with our code Drinkin' Bros. You can get 40% off right now. Especially, it sleeps so good, it's scary. Ghostbed.com/Drinkin' Bros.
And the sad thing about it is, if the Suns don't come out of the West, it's going to be the boring ass Clippers or the boring ass Utah Jazz.
I don't think the Jazz are boring. I don't think the Jazz are boring at all.
No one wants to see
them. I think they're really fun.
Donovan Mitchell is fun to watch.
Donovan Mitchell is like Dame Lillard on a team that can win.
I want to see Dame Lillard. I don't want to see Donovan Mitchell.
It's the same fucking thing.
No,
it's not.
No, it's not. It's not.
Donovan Mitchell's not jacking up shots from 30 feet out. Come on.
That's fair, but he's just a fun, fast as fuck two that will drop in 50 points without blinking.
Yeah, he's having a
he's having a good series. Well, having a good series. I just don't want to. I don't want to see them. I don't want to see Utah in the finals.
I don't
want to
see Mitt Romney in the stands at all.
Nope.
No.
No. I don't want to see all those Mormons. Oh, I don't want to see.
I was saying this off air, but that, my favorite thing on Twitter this weekend was. it was one time I agreed with the Twitter mob for once when they were, it was, I think it was game two of Jazz Clippers, and they kept cutting to Karl Malone, and all of Twitter was like, stop showing Karl Malone, for the love of God. He has sex with teenagers. He got them pregnant.
Yeah.
Bad dude.
By the way, all of our bets are on mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will double your deposit. We're wearing the t-shirts today as we speak. I will be betting on this tonight. Atlanta is getting 3 points at home tonight, so I'm in on
and Embiid playing?
Sure. Yeah, he's playing.
Yeah. No, it's just
he's playing, dude.
Sixers are minus -3 on the road.
Oh, okay.
That's heard that crazy. Wrong. That's a crazy one to me. And then the Utah game. Look,
that's a huge tonight's a huge game.
If they win, they tie it up. They tie up the series, and it's 2-2. And then we've got to deal with a game 7 for that. Mm-hmm. That fucking boar fest. That snooze fest. And you said Connelly's out.
Mike Conley is out for tonight.
Okay.
They're pretty deep at guard, though. I mean, between Mitchell and Jordan Clarkson, and I know that's a shameless Mizzou plug, but Clarkson's actually really fucking good. He won Sixth Man of the Year this year.
Jordan Clarkson?
Yeah, Jordan Clarkson. They have a legit backcourt in those two. And then go Bears, go Bear. And Ingles, by the way, I know this is very racist, but I can't tell the difference between Ingles and the other guy on the Jazz, Bogdanovich.
I
cannot physically.
Ingles is left-handed, right?
I mean,
Bogdanovich isn't.
Okay, that's fine. But
he's also all white European. People look alike. Yeah.
They're both. Oh, no. Ingles is Spanish or something.
Yeah, Bogdanovich is clearly Eastern European.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
Ingles is left handed, I believe. Am I right about that?
I don't know off the top of my head. Yeah. I just know that routinely, it takes me a minute to coordinate whose number is who because I can't. They look the fucking same from that like 60-foot view up. Like, I can't tell the difference between them.
Oh, you're canceled.
Yeah. Welcome. Welcome, Bob.
Someone's going to tell me I'm brave for that.
Next up, baseball world. Odds have shifted on my bookie. The NL MVP favorite is now Jacob DeGrom. Do you agree with a pitcher getting an MVP?
Yeah. I mean, pitchers deserve MVP sometimes, and he's putting up goddamn insane numbers. Like, he's putting up numbers, if he did it over the course of the season, would blow Bob Gibson's legendary season out of the water. Like, they wouldn't even be comparable.
He's missed 3 starts in the first third of the season.
Well, that's the problem.
And there's also a Cy Young Award winner, so why have both?
Well, I mean, I don't mind the pitcher winning the MVP if he's the MVP, but in 32 starts?
Yeah.
It's unlikely. That's that's nothing. Honestly, how could a starting pitcher have that kind of impact?
I agree.
I think a reliever, I think a closer that has 55 saves, that is absolutely making a case for MVP. But a starting pitcher, you play once every 5 days, man.
Yeah, you play once every 5 days, but you play more innings than a closer.
You do, but you don't have
a lot more innings.
I mean, maybe you could say that you eat up more innings for sure.
You take more outs away from the offense than a closer does, or any reliever does.
But the scale of the outs are vastly different, right?
And I think that depends.
It is more difficult historically to save 50 than to win 20, right?
Well, that's you gotta put an asterisk next to it. Take it with a grain of salt because the saves weren't a thing until like the 80s, basically.
Right, but even since then, it's been harder to get to 50 saves. It's only happened what 3 times, I think.
I don't know off the top of my head. To be honest,
Hoffman.
No. It's happened like probably 8 times. I'm thinking of 60.
Yeah.
So
60's only happened a couple times.
What's his nuts from the Angels had?
What was the record? Was it
Thigpen? Thigpen had 58.
Okay.
Dude with the goggles.
Eric Gagne had 60, Gagne, and then Fernando whatever from the Angels had 63 one season.
Yes, he did. 63 was.
Then he went to
insane.
LA after that. But I'm just saying, maybe in that you would have to really do something. And to be honest, on the Mets, like how many of DeGrom starts, how many decisions does he have? Because he's averaging right around 6 innings a start. Mm-hmm. That's not an MVP to me. Sorry. This is not even close. Like, that's the part of the conversation where you're not you personally, but that's where I get lost on this stuff.
Yeah, and in the past 28 seasons, only 2 pitchers have won regular season MVP awards. Clayton Kershaw was the last one. So,
17 50 save seasons.
17. How many? 63, right?
60 is one.
Francisco Rodriguez.
Did Gagne get 59?
Yeah, okay. Gagne was 55.
Oh, 55.
Did Rodriguez get what, 62?
K-Rod got 62, yeah.
62, yeah.
That's right.
And Thigpen's 58.
Yeah.
Yep. 57.
57.
Thigpen, yeah.
Look, we'll see. He pulled ahead of Fernando Tatis, who is injured. Both of these guys are now injured, right?
So I actually do think DeGrom's a bad bet. I wouldn't take that MVP bet.
Yeah. Well, it's 6-1. So, you know, it's decent odds, but who would you throw money on? Tatis then?
Acuna or Tatis are both good. Let me look at the Fangraphs leaderboard here. DeGrom is still in the running, but he literally can't miss it, basically another start, I would say. Like, I mean, he has to. He's pretty much undeniable if he has a sub-1 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
And over, if he has a sub-1 ERA and over 30 starts, I think he wins the MVP. But, like, I mean, he fucking cannot miss anymore. Right now, Acuna is second in the National League and wins above replacement. And fucking in first place is Nick Castellanos. Yeah. Vlad's American League. There's two MVPs.
Okay. Yeah.
Nick Castellanos is in first, and it'd take a weird year for him to get it. Like, it's probably Acuna. And then, honestly, a good bet still, and I think I said this on our baseball show week ago or two, if you really want to get a good MVP bet, someone who's already won it, someone who's on a team who's going to have to fight the entire season to get in the playoffs, Chris Bryant.
No shit.
Chris Bryant is top 10 in the MLB in wins above replacement. He's on pace for about 30 home runs, maybe a little over. He plays good defense still. He's one of the best base runners in the league. And like I said, the Cubs, this is going to be a year where your team getting into the playoffs really fucking matters. Because there's no clear front runner.
Gotcha. So as long as you get in, you have a shot.
Yeah, and if the Cubs get into the playoffs, it will be in a relatively tight race. And Chris Bryant will be probably the main factor in that, or at least the main statistical factor in that. And people are going to look at it and be like, we already gave him one.
Mm-hmm.
He's really fucking good. He's pretty hot. And they're going to be like, yeah, fuck it. Give it to Chris Bryant. It's between Acuna and Bryant to me. I think those are the two best bets. And if the Braves don't make the playoffs, and right now that does not look fucking good, Acuna's going to need to literally hit 60 home runs to take it from Bryant.
For a non-playoff team, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Bryant has gotten hot down the stretch a number of times. 16 when they won the title, he just fucking lit it up the whole time. So if he's able to maintain, I don't know if a 300 average, or I don't think the average really it plays that much of a role.
No.
But I don't know if 30 home runs does it. Like, it would have to be something, he would have to get super hot in a really critical time for the Cubs to make it happen, which is, I mean, look, they're probably going to be in that situation, and he has a history of doing that, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Right? What are the odds on him?
Oof.
If he's even in there.
Man, I don't even.
Look it up.
Probably in the high 20s, I would imagine, for that, for Chris Bryant. If that's the value pick, though, go with that. I'm with you. I don't think DeGrom wins this year if he doesn't come back and start playing again.
Right now, Chris Bryant is plus 1,300, 13-1 odds to win the MVP.
I thought it'd be a lot worse.
DeGrom has dropped to 7-1 odds because he's hurt again. Yeah. Acuna and Tatis are 3-1.
Okay.
So
wait, he's hurt again, so he's going to miss his next start?
Who, Tatis? Or
DeGrom.
DeGrom, yeah. They pulled him, I think, on the last one. So
I mean, he got through six. I mean, we'll see. He should be scheduled to pitch. He pitched on Friday. He should be pitching Thursday probably. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll find out.
There is an injury. Yeah, it says the Mets got an encouraging injury update on him 2 days ago.
Oh, it's flexor tendonitis. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But I mean, he can't miss any more starts. You can't give it to a pitcher who has less than 30 starts. You just fucking can't.
No, and he's a number one guy that's in the number one slot for the entire season will get 34 starts, right?
Yeah.
If you're the number one guy, you don't miss any starts. He's already missed three. Yeah. I don't think he can get past 30 because he hasn't been in the number one spot in the rotation every time. They had to fucking gap him. So I don't know if he's got enough games left to do that, unless he has to go on short rest or something.
Yeah.
But
all right, I'll say this. If he squeezes 29 in and has just stupid numbers like he has now, it's a decent bet, but that's you're basically betting that he doesn't get hurt again. And betting on any pitcher to not miss starts in a season is fucking nuts.
What's the over under on how many pitchers get popped for illegal shit on the ball?
The limit does not exist.
So what's going on with that? Like, they keep talking about it and they're saying, hey man, even like Kershaw and those guys were like, look, I know this is fucking stupid this year. What is it that they're putting on their fucking hands that no one can hit the goddamn ball?
Spider tack is the name of the substance. It's like a stickum, basically, right, Dan?
Yeah, it's stickum and then stickum and sunscreen, right? So they'll put the stickum, spider tack, whatever you call it. It's stuff that you spray onto your bat. Like if you see those guys before they go on, they're spraying. It's like a liquid pine rosin, basically. But they'll put it inside of their glove right here or on the palm or somewhere, and you'll see them go to it frequently, or they put it on. Some people put it on the inside of the belt and shit like that.
Is it clear?
No, it's it shows up. It's dark.
Okay.
Yeah, it you can see. Just go Google it. Like pictures with shit on it.
Yeah.
On their gloves or whatever. I mean, it's all been seen on a ton of gloves. DeGrom is now in trouble because there's a video of him routinely touching his belt before almost every batter, which is another place to put it because you need to put it on a dark surface.
Yeah. Racist. But yeah, look, there's a reason for a 0.27 ERA or whatever.
It's like 0.53 right now.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
The other part is sunscreen, which they'll put on the back of their neck or somewhere like that. Somewhere, it depends on your body. Somewhere where you sweat, where it looks like you're wiping sweat off your whatever the fuck.
Right? And by the way, you literally can't tell a pitcher to not wear sunscreen.
No, you can't. And if it ends up on the ball, it ends up on the ball. I mean, how are you going to penalize somebody for that unless you can prove they're doing it?
Yeah. You literally have to be like, fuck you. You have to risk skin cancer to play in this league. Yeah.
You know who's been invisible this year is Mike Trout, by the way.
He's
out right now.
He's been hurt for, like, what, 2.5 weeks?
Yeah.
Give or take?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the spider tack allows you to grip the ball really firmly, but the fact that you have a viscous chemical on your hands also will make it slippery once it is released, once you let go. So throw the ball, comes out, spin rate super high. Spin rate is the metric most accurately associated with success for a pitcher.
Even more than velocity.
More than velocity, more than any other stat for a hitter even.
Okay.
Like you can have a great batting average on balls in play and run into bad luck. Yeah. You hit fucking 260 instead of 290. You know what I mean? It's just how it is. Spin rate almost always results in better pitching. I mean, when I say almost, I mean like 99.9% of the time. It is rare. It's weird when it doesn't, when it's not an accurate predictor.
It turns the ball into a wiffle ball.
Yeah. It makes the ball fucking flutter, cut more. I mean, everything that a baseball does, it does it more.
It's good for baseball, man.
Yeah, it's like how you're...
People love not watching, like, players be able to hit and all that stuff. Yeah. They're big fans.
It's like how you're way better at everything on cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're cooler, you're hotter.
Tell me why this is better than grappling again.
It's not. No. And by the way,
I said it.
Hey, no lie, Giorgio, because this goes both ways. Baseball is the same way as grappling right now, where it's so fucking boring. I can't bring myself to sit down and watch it anymore. Unless it's the Braves, because I know they're going to lose. Right around the 7th, where I'm like, oh yeah, this is when they're going to lose the fucking game. But that's just pure self-hatred and loathing at that point. Yep. So other than that, yes, that is... a perfect analogy.
No, it is. It's the same. It's the exact same thing, Giorgio. It's where, like, there's some, although even now the intense baseball fans fucking hate it too.
Yeah.
But there are some people that are like, well, we're seeing the best pitching ever and the most home runs. It's like, and the best, you are seeing the best hitting approaches ever. And what pitchers should really fucking fear if they crack down on that substance is they have forced hitters to get so much better.
Mm.
And if then they have to immediately regress because they can't throw their fucking wiffle balls anymore, but the hitters aren't going to regress because you forced the hitters to deal with a more difficult environment. Like, the hitters are like, when I would like try to make myself better at Smash Brothers and I play against 3 level 9s at once and I was alone, right? And then all of a sudden they're only having to play against one of those guys again. Like, it's, they're going to... These pitchers, a lot of these pitchers might get fucking murdered if the MLB really does crack down on this.
Yeah, they're not going to. I don't think the MLB can crack down on this for that reason. I mean, you'll have to light up a couple of lower level people enough that most people are too afraid to do it, but guys still sneak into it sometimes.
Right.
Probably. Because if you just cut them off cold turkey, there's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
Ruben Snyder says since the. Pro, or since it was announced that they were going to start checking the ball for foreign substance, the MLB batting average has gone up 15 points.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's 15 points higher than it was then, maybe over that two-week period.
Yeah.
I don't know what the data is itself, but either way, there's clearly a difference, right? And we're getting into the dog days of summer right now. So,
well, and imagine, too, like, in a lot of ways, even just go beyond that, like, imagine you're a hitter, and for the first 2 months, the pitcher has essentially been throwing a golf ball to you, right? A tiny ball. And then now they're throwing a baseball beach ball, again. Yeah. Like, that's going to look, as they say, like a beach ball, right? Like, they're going to be able to connect to with that no fucking problem.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying the second half of the season is going to be a blast?
If they really do crack down on it, you're going to see a lot of fucking runs in the second half of the season. Now, granted, that'll make the game longer, but if people are scoring runs on both sides, who cares? It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to watch. We'll switch over to the NFL here.
Oh, wait,
Julio.
Before we do that, I think it's time for the hockey minute. Nick, are you? No, Nick's not here. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Nick.
I do have a Euros. Catch up if you guys want that real quick.
I will do that at the end of the show. I actually watched the Brazil. Venezuela versus who was it? Neymar was in it.
One of those European
Neymar
countries.
Neymar was in it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was the Copa America that's going on.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. There's 50 million tournaments over there, so.
Well, some
it's
dude
hard
fell,
to know.
Had a heart attack and died for
Christian Eriksen did not die.
He died and was resuscitated.
He was resuscitated, on the field. We'll get to that in a minute, though. NFL, though, is what the people pay for. Julio Jones traded to the Tennessee Titans for a second and a fifth. That first-round pick, which we talked about a few weeks ago, that was offered, allegedly, we heard from one of our friends, was Carolina. The Falcons were adamant about not trading him within the division. I don't know that Carolina would have mattered. But he goes to the Tennessee Titans. What happens to the Titans this year? They've got A.J. Brown. They've got the greatest running back that is playing today, Derrick Henry. And now they have Julio Jones and a decent game manager in Tannehill. What happens to them? Lose to the Chiefs?
Snooze. Yeah, they're not beating the Chiefs.
I don't think
the
so
Chiefs, either. Who just went from playing in a Super Bowl where probably the main reason they lost was because their whole line was decimated. Like, it wasn't even they had a bad line. It was decimated. And then they went out and were like, okay, we're going to go sign all the fucking best offensive linemen we can.
Yep.
And keep the rest of the team. Yeah, you're not beating the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's probably to play for second in the AFC because you got the Titans now and the Bills, and that's kind of the 1-2-3 for me. Chiefs are one.
Is it still true that a game manager can win a fucking Super Bowl?
It's happened.
Nick Foles just won.
Nick Foles is not. He was not a game manager in the game. He was slinging the ball all over the place though.
Yeah, for that playoffs.
For
yeah,
how many yards though?
Yeah,
probably not a lot
at a time.
Probably not a lot. Yeah, but so just looking over the last couple of Super Bowls,
Trent Dilfer.
It was Brady, then Mahomes, Brady again, then Big Dick Nick, then Brady again, then
could argue Brady was a game manager those first three.
Peyton Manning, maybe.
Peyton Manning was a game manager for that fucking.
He really
Peyton
was. Manning,
they scored 24 points.
Yeah.
I mean,
They were defensive.
Then Brady again before that, Russell Wilson, and then it was that Baltimore win.
Yeah, because
Flacco wasn't like. A fucking game manager?
No, he wasn't.
During that run.
They scored 34 points.
He wasn't a game manager.
He was elite.
I would say Eli in 12 is probably the last game manager, like true game manager to win. And not to say he wasn't great in some seasons, but in that particular game, for sure, right?
Yeah. And Peyton didn't have a touchdown pass in that Super Bowl.
I think it's the first one in a very long time where the quarterback. So
yeah.
I think he had two picks, actually.
I would say that's two out of the last 10 years, so it's rare.
Very rare.
I don't think 20% you could call statistically rare.
I think that is pretty rare.
I think
Brady is the anomaly, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? Even in this last Super Bowl, though, Brady was managing a little bit. He wasn't Mahomes in the year before. Like, Brady was a bit of a game manager in this last season and Super Bowl.
No.
What were his stats? Like, really? Was he
21 for 29, 201. Three yards touchdowns. And three TDs.
No interceptions.
That sounds under 300. I'm sorry, 200 yards?
No, it's 201.
201?
Yeah,
because they scored all their points in the first half, and then they just didn't have to score.
And then they ran the ball the 33 times.
Sounds a little game manager-y to me.
No, I think he just
maybe after
a
certain point,
fucking Mahomes.
Yeah.
Also, literally, if all you have to do in the second half is hand off the ball, you're managing a game.
For sure, yeah, but you're doing it strategically at that point.
Yeah, that's fair.
You're doing it because the least amount of times you give Patrick Mahomes to come back, the better.
Yeah.
Because, Mahomes made that mistake in the AFC Championship 3 years ago.
Yeah.
They gave Brady the ball back with what, like fucking 7 seconds? It doesn't even matter if it was 1 second, he would have scored. Mm-hmm. You can't give that motherfucker time. I think it was like 2.5 minutes.
Right.
Something.
Yeah, he had plenty of time. Yeah. Plenty of time. And then the other interesting story about the NFL that came out this week.
This is the most interesting story of the NFL. Jamison Crowder took a fucking pay cut to stay with the New York Jets.
Why was that? Why is that even a story on here? I saw that on ESPN earlier.
It's a story because nobody can figure out why any human being would want to be on the New York Jets football team.
At all.
For less money than you would have gotten. You know how that's a premium position, and he's good at it. And everybody's going to assume, like, hey, this guy's just been jammed up at the Jets all this time. He's going to do even better for us. What the fuck are you thinking, dude?
It's
going to
be a backroom deal, right? Like, yeah, we'll make up the money on advertisers.
He was going to get cut. In New York. He was going to get cut.
Okay.
Because they couldn't afford his salary, I guess, bringing in this new rookie they drafted.
All right.
Elijah Moore.
Well, that makes sense. So he's hanging around one more year trying to get that last bit of money.
He's not fucking – he doesn't need to hang around another year to get one more contract. He's 27, man. Like, he would immediately re-sign with somebody.
I don't know. Is it like – I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But does he just love New York?
I don't know. I don't get any of it.
Or the contracts getting smaller, and this is what I was alluding to earlier, was like Justin Fields. That was the first one to sign out of the first round. $18.9 million for number 11 in the draft. That seems low to me.
Between, what, 4 years?
Four years. With a fifth-year option that's got incentives and everything else. That seems really fucking low to me.
No, they redid the rookie contracts.
Yeah, after Sam Bradford got like $50 million to do nothing.
They're like, this is
getting insane.
Yeah, I think it should apply differently to different positions though. Like, you don't see offensive line bust very frequently.
Right.
You don't see even running back bust.
At least they don't talk about it.
Running backs that get taken in the first round never fucking fail. I mean, it happens, but it is so rare.
But every time you take an offensive line that is a bust, like, nobody ever like kind of reams you for it because they're just like, oh, it's a good pick at the time, and then they just forget. Whenever somebody's a bust that is an offensive lineman, it's two or 3 years later, nobody remembers you took them.
But I would say a good deal, probably over half of first round NFL quarterback draft picks do not work out.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. However, I don't know if that has much to do with the human beings taken. So,
maybe not.
So much
as
the human beings drafting.
It is what it is, though, right?
Right, right, right.
Like, you got to do what you got to do. So I think that the rules should apply accordingly. An NFL quarterback that has success in his career is going to play, 8 to 10 years, maybe 12, maybe longer if he's lucky, but that sometime in that space. If you're a good running back, you've got 3 to 5 tops.
Right.
Yep.
At least your peak years where you can actually make money doing the job. I don't know. I never understood this. It's the same thing with the fucking minimum wage to me. Like, you get Tulsa, Oklahoma has the same minimum wage as LA. You fucking kidding me? It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Well, it should be more than an NFL running back makes.
Yeah, so. Well, that's probably true.
I say people in Los Angeles should grow up and move to Tulsa.
Yes, well, or become NFL running backs.
Just don't come
backs.
Here.
Yeah.
Speaking of NFL running backs, Le'Veon Bell came out and said he would never play for Andy Reid again. He did not enjoy the experience.
What was the explanation behind that?
There wasn't one.
He said he was sorry for saying it.
Yeah. He said he was sorry today for...
But he also said that he doesn't regret what he said.
So you weren't sorry for
what
you said.
I mean, fuck, dude. If you don't like playing for a guy, you don't like playing for a guy. I got to imagine, though, that sounds like a thing that seems more on Le'Veon Bell than Andy Reid or the Chiefs staff.
Yeah.
Because did he say anything about their offensive coordinator?
Bienemy? No. No.
Okay.
No. Just about Andy Reid.
Maybe he just doesn't like Andy Reid's son.
Well...
Could be.
Maybe he doesn't like the fact that Andy Reid looks like a fucking walrus.
Maybe.
Maybe. That could also be.
Maybe he got attacked by a walrus as a child.
But
now every time he sees Andy, he's peeking out from behind that fucking Waffle House menu.
He gets triggered.
You can hear the music playing. He hears the waves in the back of his head, like, sure, no.
Oh, God.
He starts to have a fucking breakdown. Le'Veon Bell, walrus survivor.
He needs to understand that's on his parents for letting him roam an Arctic beach alone.
Yeah, you shouldn't have been out there in the first place, guy.
Yeah.
No. I'll ask a Philly fan. Andy Reid's pretty beloved. I don't know anyone who's ever come out against Andy Reid for Christ's sake.
Players?
It's got to be a style situation.
I mean, Philadelphia fans probably, a lot of like dumb meatball Philly fans probably don't like Andy Reid. But like anyone that kind of, you know, has been an Eagles fan their whole life and just kind of sees the ups and downs that we've been through, you like Andy Reid.
Yeah.
I cheered for Andy Reid to win a title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. Giorgio, let's get to your soccer minute here. What do you got here? What happened this weekend? What's happening moving forward? When are the Olympics starting?
The first round of the Euros is underway right now. The most anticipated match of the first round is coming up on Tuesday. That is Germany versus France. Both are two of the favorites in this tournament right now. England and Germany, two of the other favorites, both started out well with wins in their division. England beating Croatia, who originally beat them in the semifinals of the last World Cup, which is really big for England, and is the first time they have ever won an opening round game of the Euros. So that was huge for them. Also getting underway was the Copa America, which is the national championship, or the continental championship, excuse me, for South America. Brazil won their opening game against Venezuela 3-0, and Argentina drew.
Neymar scored. That's the one I was watching.
He scored a penalty and had an assist in that game. And Marquinhos scored the first goal for them. We've got some really, really good action going on here. This France versus Germany game, I might have to bring you off the bat. We got Karim Benzema, who's back playing for France for the first time since those allegations of underage prostitution at the Euros from like 10 years ago. You know, you just can't enjoy a fine prostitute overseas anymore.
Is that the dude that looks like a rat?
No, you're thinking of Frank Ribery.
Oh, it's Ribery. Okay.
That's yeah, cool. They were all involved
no, in this scandal. First off, Ribery doesn't look like a rat. He looks like the most French man alive, which is to say he looks like a rat.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's every Frenchman.
He is Ribery. The first time I saw Ribery, I was like, "That, this can't be real. Is this like an offensive caricature that someone drew and it came to life of a Frenchman?"
He looks more French than Boris Johnson looks English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is to say quite a bit. He's like the human Pepe Le Pew. In all ways, apparently, because he's a fucking rapist, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. But luckily, he is gone and is no longer around the international soccer culture. things are different. Things have been changing. Italy is no longer playing a strong back defense. They're controlling possession now and playing between the lines. England is looking very dangerous with their youth wingers.
I'm sure they will eventually disappoint.
They'll definitely disappoint.
They'll definitely choke on their own vomit.
Yes, they will. And it's coming soon. Mm-hmm. We all know it's coming soon.
They never win anything on the international stage.
It's weird that you went with like a drug overdose analogy for how they were going to fail.
No, I went Donovan McNabb.
Choke on their own vomit?
Yeah.
Why did he choke on his own vomit?
He threw up in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant like he took some pills.
No.
Like Heath Ledger.
Well, he might now because he's a huge.
Yeah.
I mean, he has multiple DUIs.
So yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Why not?
Good for athletes him. Just aren't good role models anymore.
Look, it's not like they can afford
it. What do you mean anymore? Ty Cobb fucking was racist as shit. He pulled a goddamn .22 pistol on an umpire at second base after being called out.
Ty Cobb beat a man with no legs or no arms.
He climbed into the stands and beat up a quadriplegic.
The guy deserved it, though.
He shouldn't have been lying
there.
Tough
shit. Yeah.
Register had some choice words for the deaf recently.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, I just
but they couldn't hear him, though.
Yeah,
so.
Fuck the deaf.
What did you say?
Deaf. You can't. I don't give a fuck about deaf people.
Deaf people?
From
my experience.
Close caption on this, good.
Between just like, you know, working in the service industry and everything for like in college and stuff, it was the biggest assholes were always the deaf people. And they would just pretend that, like, obviously they can't hear you, but they would just walk past you and just ignore you.
Sure.
Like you're not there.
Yeah.
How do you know they could hear you? Or how do you know they knew what you were fucking trying to communicate to them, though?
Because you would stop them and write stuff down, and they would just kind of shrug and then leave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough assessment.
Sounds like something both Ross and Dan would do at least at this table.
I would do that,
yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Probably. I actually obey the rules. I get mad when I'm out in public and the people I'm with jaywalk. When there's a fucking crosswalk 15 feet right there. Yep. Like if it's a desolate area, that's one thing. But if you're running across the street because there are cars coming both ways, and there's a fucking crosswalk right there, you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
And I don't want to know you.
Is there at least like a part of you that's like, well, at least I hope they get hit by a car?
No.
Rooting for that?
No, because I don't want to deal with that either.
That's fair.
Like if I'm out with Ross and he gets hit by a car, I've got to fucking deal with that shit.
You're going to fill out the report?
Yeah, it's not about, I don't care about him specifically. I care about how things inconvenience me.
Right. Yeah, your time.
Right. It's the thing I like the least in life is to be inconvenienced.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, don't fucking do that shit.
Yeah, nobody likes that shit.
And that's why you just do things the right way. Do them the way they're fucking supposed to be done.
I was actually going to help if you, I was going to ask if you could help set up my baby shower in a month. That's all right.
I'll stand there like the fucking soup Nazi at the front. You and your wife and then me in the middle, and they hand the present to me, and if they stumble with their fucking little shit they want to say or anything happens, get out.
Yeah,
you take your fucking present with you. I won't keep the present.
Rob's gonna ask. Yeah, we'll put together those backyard tents that take forever.
Yeah, like a pergola. Oof. And then like obviously undo the folding chairs.
Oh, you're asking me to do manual labor, to which the answer is fucking no. Obviously. No. Are you fucking kidding me? No.
Well, I have a request.
Fuck out of here.
I have a request. Can we go to UFC in Vegas? Because I feel like a group outing in Vegas, like Paper Hands Dan, like on a casino floor, all of us there just degenerate debauchery. I feel like a company out of
When's
Vegas.
The next Vegas one?
It's Connor. When is that?
In a month. All right.
In a month.
You do that.
Yeah.
We actually might need to go to Vegas for the Big Three opening on July 12th or whatever it is. Too.
Yes.
I think it's July 10th. Isn't
July 10th. July 10th is the
So we could just stay there.
Yeah.
Oh.
If we do an entire week from Vegas.
I don't know if I'll survive.
No, but
Giorgio's financially gonna get us a suite certainly not from all of his winnings. Because he's heading to the table and he's taking out a loan.
Yeah, so here's the plan, guys. We're all gonna fly to Vegas with no rooms and then wait for this asshole to make money at a table. What the fuck is wrong with you, man? No.
Yes. And then if you want to get a head start, you can play on the My Vegas app where you can win free stays and free buffets.
It's just like Giorgio giving a hand job so we can all sleep in somebody's car.
Yeah, the guest is worth it though for the Big Three, so that it might be a genuine possibility.
Yeah,
we'll discuss that off air for who it possibly could be.
I like to ask on air because then the fans get in the chat and go, send them to Vegas.
Send them to Vegas.
And then July 15th to the 18th is the British Open.
No one cares about that
shit. So we can just roll that in. Everything will be paid for at the British
Open. You can go and I'll give you money to bet for me, and then you can bring me cash back if it cashes out.
I'm surprised you just wouldn't just stay and bet at the fucking place. You can get the money in your hand.
That's what I'm saying.
Bellagio.
Yeah, we just stay for the entire week.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, I'd prefer to use my bookie. But if you're going to be there, I'll take
cash in hand. So
last thing before we get out of here, the All-Star game for the WNBA set for July 14th.
Yep.
So
No one cares.
No, same week. We'll be there, too.
Yeah, is it in Vegas?
Hopefully.
Who cares? No one's going to watch
for the dunk contest. Oh, they don't do that. Or ever. Yeah, my bad. It's the WNBA.
They do like a skills competition.
They do a skills competition.
Fundamentals competition.
Is it like chess passes into a fucking tire?
To be fair, that's a thing in the NBA.
It is, yeah. It's stupid.
Yeah, they do.
Look how good Chris Paul can throw a chess pass. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. Nobody wants to see that shit.
I don't mind it.
Not even children learning to play basketball. No. Want to see that.
The three-point, the two things you do are shoot and dunk.
Yeah.
Well, and now the dunk competition's garbage because you don't care about any of the people in it.
No.
Yeah.
No, so it's sure. really just a three-point. The true premier event now is the three-point competition.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Dude, watching Curry in that last one was a fucking blast.
Because it requires no physical effort on behalf of the participants, right?
What, the three-point competition?
Right, yeah.
Like you're just shooting. It's just your
warm-up. The worst thing that could happen is you fucking suck that day, and it's shooting. If you go out and try, if you fuck up three dunks in a row, you're done, man.
Yeah.
You got to kill yourself, I think.
It's also just a three-pointer. The NBA has gotten, like, weirdly, like, it's how white kids dream of playing. Mm. Like, that's the whole thing now. We just jacked up threes as children.
Yeah.
And now that's the NBA.
That's a newer thing. That's a newer generation.
It's a newer generation, it's going to translate to these kids.
We were mid-range jumping.
No, everyone wanted to jack up threes.
Yeah. No,
you didn't play.
Dan was right. The fadeaway mid-range from our generation was really where it's at. It's this European influence right now that's obsessed with the threes, like that mid-jumper. Steph Curry.
Not even the Europeans, because if you go European, you got Dirk Nowitzki with the mid-range, just like knee
kick
up.
Back, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Bring him back.
Major League Baseball's All-Star game is on a Tuesday.
Yes. So the home run. Well, no. It's always on a Tuesday. Home run derby is on Monday night before.
It's never a weekend, weirdly.
Oh, yeah.
It's in Colorado. Okay. They're going to let all of the pitchers use whatever substance they want.
Mm.
That'd actually be rad.
And so that means just from the dates that the WNBA All-Star game is on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Now, what major sporting events happen on Wednesdays?
Whew.
Golf hasn't even started yet.
No, golf. No. Golf.
Well, unless
starts
it's
Thursdays.
You know, of course, the Dell Match Play, which starts on Wednesday.
I mean, you could have a baseball or football final game played there because you never know, right?
Par three contest at the Masters on a Wednesday.
Reed White says Papagini needs to start flying first class from now on. He was on Spirit. Okay, it's called the Big Seat, and you were in it.
So. There's no. First of all, no, he doesn't.
Yeah, he was in the big
Look
seat.
At him. Does anything about that say first class?
I'm literally peeing right now. Bob.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Good. We'll get out of here. Do you guys, first off, do you have a softcore history tonight?
Yes, we do have a softcore history. We're going to record in about 20 minutes.
Okay.
It's a brief history of lesbianism through the...
Happy Pride, guys.
Yeah, for Pride Month, through ancient times and the Middle Ages. Basically, what I do with those topics is I'll just start doing it, and I'll be like... Because I did this on birth control and pregnancy a couple months ago as well. And I'll be like, okay, like there's crazy stuff all through history. I'll just like find the craziest. And then there'll be so much crazy fucking shit in like one era that I'll be like, well, it's going to have to be a three-parter because good Lord.
Yeah.
Like ancient people are fucking wild.
Wild.
Yeah.
I wish it was like that now. It's a fucking nation full of pussies. So, it is what it is.
By the way, the NBA finals will be going on during
shit
that.
Shit don't change that much.
It does, actually.
It's our motto.
No, our motto is shit don't change.
Yeah. No. Listen to Softcore History, download it, subscribe, and then also please go to iTunes and rate Drinkin' Bros Sports a 5-star and leave a quick review. We'll be back at you, Tuesday, Wednesday?
I think we have a guest tomorrow, don't we?
Tomorrow?
Yeah. Tomorrow? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then Wednesday, be doing a little U.S. Open preview.
There it is.
Which you should actually intensely listen to because Dan is the best golf bettor in the fucking world right now.
Yeah.
It's goddamn insane. My father-in-law, I told him, I was just in conversation, told him about your fucking bet or whatever, and he was like, let me know when the U.S. Let me know when he has his U.S. Open picks and we'll put money on it together. He's like, I'll give you money to drop on it on our... on whatever bookie you use.
I'll tell you offline.
Yeah, so my bookie, I'm dropping money on
this. This is the rope-a-dope. It's the guy going slow with the three cups, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, let's do it for 100. Bip, 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 bip. I'm gonna 0%.
Meanwhile, while you're looking at the cups, I steal out of your wallet.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 Find out what happens.
That game is all about distraction.
It is.
And
it
so is this.
So is this. So is this. But we thank you for joining us here on this lovely Monday morning. Now it is 6 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock at the East Coast. It's 6 o'clock. Here it is.
Yeah, time for Brenner.
Jesus Christ. Let's get out of here. Flip on over to Drinking Bros podcast. In 45 minutes, Matthew McConaughey is on Icebreakers with Chuck Liddell and Adam Ray. For D'Anthony D'Anthony Holloway, PhD, Hot Bob, and Papa Giorgio, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Sports Monday Morning Recap.